But you know, we're really, and for us, we're not really even into political season, right? And we're getting crowds like this. We were all over the last couple of weeks. We like to troll. We like to go the night before one of their primaries. We do a little trolling. It's called, we do a little trolling. Bernie Sanders was very upset. Why would he be there? Why? Because I want to win. I want to keep everybody happy. Guess that's a good reason. We'll be right back.
together, we will make America great again.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. You're listening to Red Pill 78. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and this is another edition of Red Pill News for Friday Night Live Stream. We can show together. Very happy to invite Mr. Terry Newsom, also co-host of Behind Enemy Lines. If you're a Chicago resident, you've probably met Terry out and about as he's exposing corruption in the Windy City, blowing the lid off of the migrant crisis, which is really just a covert invasion. Listen, Terry has some new information for us about what's happening there. Since the last time Terry was on the show, the problem has only exacerbated, and I'm interested to hear from Terry what the sentiment of the people of Chicago has become at this point. So do me a favor. If you are just getting into the stream, hit that like button. Help us out by sharing the show. If you were here at 5 p.m., thank you very much for coming back. And also, don't forget to check out Cherry's channel. Check out his X account. You can see that on screen when it comes up. And you can also find him tagged in the posts that I shared earlier. All right, without further ado, sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and we're going to be right back after this with Terry Newsom. So recently, I've told you guys about a breakthrough new anti-aging remedy that I've been using that keeps me energized all day long. I just take a teaspoonful of C60 Evo olive oil in the morning, and I notice better mental focus, flexibility, and physical endurance. Now, it's rare to feel improvements this quickly. I also end up sleeping deeper at night, so it's really helpful. Their peptide and ESS60 hair and lotion renewal formulas are exceptional, featuring this Nobel Prize-winning miracle molecule for 32 years in their Houston, Texas, Patriot-owned lab. ESS60 is specifically made for both people and pets. It's a potent and effective way for people's lives to be improved all around the world. So maximize your health and enjoy noticeable results with C60 Evo organic edible oils, skin serums, and pet products. You can buy with confidence from C60 Evo, and you can use my personal code for a discount at checkout. Simply go to c60evo.com/redpill78, and then when you're there, use code redpill78 for an additional 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's c60evo.com/redpill78. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel.
Good, good. Thanks for having me back.
Everyone, thank you for joining us. That was Terry Newsom introducing himself because I was muted on the board and on my stream deck. So, Terry, thank you for taking over for me for just a moment. Listen, I want to start off here with a comment that I see over in the chat, my good friend Spike Protein on Rumble. And guys, also, if I could make a personal request, Terry's Rumble channel, I just shared that over on the various platforms. It's rumble.com/behind enemy lines USA. Go over there and give Terry a follow and check out the efforts that he's engaging in Chicago, trying to draw attention to some of these subjects. Terry, Spike Protein says, I wish Terry the best in fighting for conservatism in Chicago, but I still staunchly support New Illinois. We in Madison County will have an advisory vote on New Illinois this summer. So I don't know that we've ever spoken about New Illinois. I have some friends that are involved in these various efforts to segregate the new state from the old state, New California. is pretty successful. I mean, it's they've already delivered their intention to Congress, and it looks like that's actually going to happen. We're going to have a 51st state that will solve all the problems with the corrupt politicians. It'll solve the problems with the tremendous debt that old California has saddled the people with. It'll solve problems with water rights. I mean, the list goes on and on. So I guess my question to you is, are you familiar with the concept of the creation of a new state from your single state of Illinois right now? And if not, then what do you think about it?
No, I am familiar with it. I think it's I live in the western suburbs of Chicago, and I think it's more prominent in southern Illinois, central Illinois, northwestern Illinois. People talk about it. They got to get involved, just like everything else, right? Sure. People have to get involved, and it seems like it's, no matter if it's a school board or, you know, elections or New Illinois, it's always the same people, unfortunately, right? And we got to get more people involved to help us with this battle, because we're losing. I mean, you know this. We're losing the country.
Yeah.
Your listeners know that. We're in a war. Most people don't even know we're in a war, and we're losing badly. And they have to wake up and act like we're in a war before it's too late.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that we're moving towards that. It's really unfortunate that it took many people coming to the brink of extinction, essentially, to kind of wake up to what we've been discussing now. So I think it's worth saying then that, for the record, it's not, you're not even opposed to New Illinois. I mean, it's just not you're not specifically involved with the efforts to create New Illinois.
No, I support it. I have so many things going on. Absolutely support it. I hope it happens. You know, it's such a political uphill battle, right?
Sure.
I hope it happens, and it will solve our problems, just like what you're talking about, California.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the city of Chicago is just a money suck, and they act like they generate revenue and stuff. And that's not true. And people are leaving. The citizens are leaving. Businesses are leaving. And then they're pumping more and more illegals in there. Right. So who's going to pay for them? It's not going to come out just the city. It's going to be federal as well, state and other ways, but not the city of Chicago.
Yeah. All right. So I think then, for the record, it's worth stating that your efforts, I think, are parallel to the creation of New Illinois. I mean, obviously, what you're exposing, that gives people the impetus to get involved in something like that. So Spike Protein, I just wanted to put it out there that you guys aren't on two opposite ends of the same problem. I mean, you're basically running parallel to each other. So good on you for being involved in New Illinois. I am going to be interviewing some people from the effort to create the state of New Illinois. And I think it's a great idea, personally, because, you know, so often, Terry, when we're talking about all of these problems, I mean, the idea of entrenched corruption in, you know, this establishment government that we have, I mean, whether it's at the federal or the state level, I mean, too often people just get frustrated. I mean, they think like, oh, well, you know, I mean, these people are entrenched. You know, they've been in power for so long. I mean, they've got so many allies. They're not going to give up that power. Why would they do it for us? We the people. I mean, they act like we don't even exist most of the time. So if we have an opportunity to use a framework, use a platform that was already developed and was already successfully used in Virginia and West Virginia, you know, why can't we use it? I think it's a great idea, and I encourage anybody who's out there working on these things to go ahead and do it. I'm also going to have some people from Greater Idaho on here in the very near future. We're going to be talking about that, and that one actually is kind of counter to like New Idaho, or I guess, you know, New Oregon, or whatever it might be. That really is just taking a chunk of Oregon and then adding it on to Ohio and making it a larger state. But I mean, the same sort of problems that we're talking about are going to exist. I truly think that if you start from the ground up and you have the ability to create that.
Illinois is the heart of Saul Alinsky and all the corruption.
Oh, yeah.
And our Republicans are Democrats. It's awful. And we're fighting, you know, behind enemy lines. We got two battle fronts. We got the Democrats, and then we got the more dangerous establishment rhinos that are, you know, working and taking money from the unions.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they're taking teachers' unions, and they vote with them, and it's just crazy. And then they tell us, well, we got to win the middle. We got to get the soft D's. No, you got to win the respect of Republicans, right? It's like, you got to get us to go out and vote for you because you suck. Yeah. You know, we don't waste our time. You're going to lose. Or if we get you in, you're going to vote with the Democrats. So it's just a big cluster here. And it's a big battle.
It's a political circle jerk. I mean, everybody's trying to give each other a reach around to make sure that they get their stuff done. And the only thing that's not getting a circle jerk is the people of the state. You know, nobody in terms of the citizenry is being taken care of in any meaningful way. And it's got to be so offensive to people seeing what they're giving up, what they're taking from the citizens, the natural born American citizens or even the naturalized American citizens to give to these criminals. I mean, because that's what they are. They're illegal aliens. They're not meant to be there. You know, they're showing up and they're dropping anchor babies, and then they get, you know, $15,000 in assistance for a brand new house, or maybe they get all their medical bills paid for. They get credit cards with prepaid debit on it. They get food stamps. And then what happens to the people who are already struggling on a daily basis? You know, they've done it right. They're American citizens. They have a job. It's just that jobs suck nowadays. You know, jobs oftentimes are not enough for people to raise a family. It's not enough for people to be able to feed themselves or even to live in a place like Chicago. New York is even worse. You know, I actually did see something really interesting the other day. It was a company that is building. So in Chicago, you've got like those shotgun houses, right? It's like the skinny lots. I think on the west side of Chicago, I've seen them. It's basically it's enough for like a mobile home, right? You know, like just like a single wide home. But if you build them up like two or three stories, then, you know, you have a decent space to live in. You could have a, you know, family with, you know, three or four kids or something like that. So these people are building homes to go onto those empty lots because I guess there's like 30,000 empty lots in Chicago. And, you know, who's going to come in at the cost of new construction today and build in a place like that, especially when, you know, it might get squatted in by some illegals? OK, you might just get your home stolen. But these people are building these prefab shotgun houses that just like slot in there. And I was like, that's a great idea, you know, and they're under like 200 and they're 225 or something like that with like there's some federal incentives that they give people if you move in there. Yeah. But how much longer is that federal incentive going to be around if they're giving all of the money to the illegals? You know, how safe are you in a place like Chicago when it's overrun by all these illegals? Because all of the resources are being sucked out and given to people who don't have any right to be there.
Yes. Yeah. It's awful. I mean, so it started out. Do you want me to jump into some?
Absolutely.
Of the things?
Do it.
Yeah. You know, also, I don't know if we mentioned last time when Abbott was, you know, sending the buses up here. Mayor Johnson said they couldn't come into the city of Chicago. So they dump them off in nice suburbs like my Chicagoland area. Then they take the trains downtown and then they get off there and they get picked up by buses and then they take them to intake centers. Then they distribute them to the inner of Chicago. It's a hotel. We'll talk about that later. A block off the Magnificent Mile. So, you know, Magnificent Miles.
Oh, yeah. I've been there many times.
Common shop, right, from all over the world.
Are there still shops there, though? That's my question. It's been a long time since I've been there.
There's lots of begging Venezuelans all over the place. I mean, even out here by me, they're putting them in the Gage Park field house, multiple field houses. So a field house in the city of Chicago, those were probably built in the 30s or something. They're like park districts, you know, big park districts, and they turn them into housing. They're putting them into certain people's houses and they're getting paid to rent out their rooms. It's a big money scam.
Well, you mean like people who live in Chicago and own their homes, they're being paid to like let to these illegals?
Move them in.
How much are people getting paid for that?
I don't know the exact amount. I know that this is just from this week. There's families getting from $6,000 to $10,000, depending on how many children they have. Per month.
Whoa. I mean, that's not a bad gig. Let's be honest.
This is another guy from the area that was elite that speaks Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. So I run into challenges sometimes when I confront him. You know, I know a couple of swear words and stuff, but
mierda.
Yeah. He was having a conversation. It's like, you heard right from one of their mouths, right? How much, you know, I was like, holy cow. You know, you talk about it, you hear about it. It was right from this guy's mouth. And you know, they're getting $1,500 a person. And I'm a Catholic. I'm not a good Catholic. I guess I'm a normal Catholic. Like when I
you're just average need, Catholic.
Yeah, when I need something, I want something, I'm hurt, I'm a Catholic. And it's so Catholic Charities.
Yes.
I brought a Spanish friend with me and we started talking to these Venezuelans at the end of Chicago. And he was translating. And I'm like, I go, hey, Val, ask him, you know, if the Catholic Charities is helping him here. They said, yes, they are. I go, did Catholic Charities help them at the border? Yes, they did. I go, did they have to go through the cartels to get here? And they said, yes, they did. So basically, they're going through, they're paying the cartels. Catholic Charities is getting all this money, right? Mm-hmm. Helping them there, bringing them to Chicago. Then they're helping them again in Chicago. Catholic Charities is one of the biggest NGOs that's going to be responsible for the downfall of America, and putting these illegal criminals. You know, they talk about asylum seekers. And, you know, some of them are, you know, some of them. I would say there's more than not, because my understanding is that they're supposed to go to the first closest country before they get to America to seek asylum, if it's true asylum. But they're not. They're going through all that. And then they're being told by the NGOs what to say. Mm-hmm. And then there's some other families that are coming here to make a better life. Well, that's really nice. I wish you the best. But you know what? It's not up to us to make accommodations for you to get a better life. That's not the criteria of an asylum seeker.
No.
Right?
No.
My grandparents came from Italy, and they, you know, came through, you know, New York, and then they went to Boston. Every generation took care of the families. We weren't $35 trillion in debt, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't get phones. They didn't get clothes, cars, housing, medical. So we're going to talk about one of these centers. Well, when we confronted I confronted a drug dealer, and he me and Ben Burkham, and I caught him doing a drug transaction, and they get these funky temporary cardboard plates that look like ridiculous, right? Then another vehicle came in as backup to support them when we're confronting them. It's, and you guys could see it on Twitter and Rumble, the confrontation Ben and I had. I thought I was going to get shot, actually. And so this other vehicle came up. It was a Saturn. It had no license plates on, front and back. And
pretty as you please.
Yeah, the one guy's, as I was the last car leaving, as we were leaving, one guy's giving me the finger. The other one had a hoodie and glasses down, the driver, and he's like, come on, you know. So they're working with this gang. But the story is no license plates. And so when I was at O'Hare, and I confronted one of the drop-off centers, they're flying them in at night now, and there's people there, and I was walking out, and a Chicago police officer was walking by, and I said, did you see my confrontation? You know, I was yelling at the guys. We were going back and forth. I thought he was coming to confront me. Mm-hmm. And, he said, no. And I'm like, I said something about the legals, and he rolled his eyes. He's Italian cop. He rolled his eyes and like, yeah. And I said, you know how bad it is? And he said, yeah. And I showed him the video. I just had that video with Ben of the confrontation in the car. He goes, you know where they're getting those cars at? I'm so, well, yeah, they're stolen. He goes, no. They're getting them from the Chicago pound. After 21 days, and you look at, I looked it up. He goes, they're giving cars that sit in a lot to Venezuelans. This is from a sergeant police officer told me this.
Wow.
And so it makes sense. Plates. And then, you know, I started confronting them or talking to them, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. at the train stations by me. Then I in the suburbs. Then I went down and saw them in the train stations, Union Station, when they got off there. Then I started going to the intake center. Then I went to some of these other housing facilities where they're at. You know, so I'm half Italian. I could look Hispanic, right?
Sure.
So I put on my leather jacket, baseball hat, and, you know, the guards are African-American. Like, they have five security guards at one location in Plaska. I get past the guards, right? Mm-hmm. So I get inside the shelter, and there's a metal detector, right? And they got three guards inside, two outside, and then the guards are standing there with wands. So as these poor homeless asylum seekers go into their housing, they have to go through a metal detector like they're going into a prison or an airport or something, right? And then they get wanded down. Wow. And then I went into the one in Chicago. Same thing. Why is there metal detectors inside these asylum shelters?
Man, probably got guns.
I ran a FOIA. It took me almost 2 months. I didn't think I was going to get it back. 200 pages, Zach. 200 pages of the first FOIA I got from the Inn of Chicago. A sexual assault of a 4-year-old kid.
Oh my God.
Battery, driving without license, drugs. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
It's like Christmas for him.
Yeah. So then the Pilsen Center, and you probably saw that on the news. The CDC was out there for measles outbreak. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yep.
If you saw that.
Yep.
I was there that they had one measles outbreak. You know, I went there, you know, and walked around, and I got the measles vaccine, so I'm okay. But so then I went back the next week with Ben. That's when we had the confrontation. But I got my FOIA request after that, finally. And so we and I sent that to you, so I don't know if you have time to pull that up, but yeah. We've got evidence of human sex trafficking inside the Pilsen Center. The police recovered a phone. It's called a Vortex phone. And they even put it in the police report, Zach.
I see that. It's a, what is
it? And then the look this up on the internet, folks. If you want, look up Vortex and look up Assurance Cellular, who's from Illinois, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's Central Illinois. And then as I did further exploring on this, they even have sales reps, and there's people going back on social media. They're for low income. It's all subsidized by us. It's all subsidized by us, the taxpayers.
So are these phones that would like normally be given to just regular low income Americans? And
yes.
Okay. And so is the city of Chicago is paying for them and giving them through Assurance Wireless? That's like the Obama phone, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't gotten there to who's paying it yet.
Okay.
But they're getting them for free. One of the pictures I didn't say, I confronted when I was at Gage Park in the South Side, a guy got murdered in front of there, a Venezuelan sitting in front of his car. So I went in and I tried to do the Hispanic look thing and get in. I got caught, you know, and I'm having an argument before you get in, right? Not that, you know, I mean, I'm not like a weed guy, but, you know, no big deal, but they're right in front of the shelter.
Right.
And so I couldn't get in. I had my confrontation. I took pictures of their handlers. And so I figured I'll go around the back and let's see what I could find around the back of this Gage Park facility. And this little Venezuelan guy follows me around. And then I'm coming back around the building. He's flashing his gang signs. You have a different one you could show later, but he's flashing the Trendelargo, the gang signs. At the time, I didn't know that was the Venezuelan prison gang until everything. Remember when the New York police officers got beat up?
Yes.
And they part of that gang. So I'm like, I knew there were gang signs. I just didn't, I didn't know it, and I knew these guys were Venezuelans. And then I saw it in New York. I'm like, holy crap, weighs about $160, you know? And I'm like, I got it all on video. And I'm like, what's up? Tries to do a translation on his phone and it wasn't working. He whips out in his other pocket, a new phone. It had to be the Vortex before. So I got a picture of the guy holding two phones and he's trying to translate.
Oh my God.
It's a Venezuela here. So they're giving him, you know, he had his own phone, the beat up one, the first one he took out, and he got the brand new Vortex in his other hand. So what we're doing is we're funding these people's existence, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're putting them into shelters. We're giving them phones. They're taking these phones and using the one that was caught by the police to do human sex trafficking. It even talks about the website that the guy was using in the phone. And they found the phone, but I bet you they won't be able to track it to who it is because many of them come and they, how do you know who the hell they are? Right. They don't know who they are.
No,
they'll probably use a phone that is, however they track it and who they give it to. It could be to some Venezuelan that made up some bullshit name. Right. And they're not going to find out who it is. There's another FOIA in there. That is not funny. The guy, the wife was being beat with the Vortex phone in the head.
Oh my God.
X dollar money. And they're doing all this. And then there's another. So I had 100 FOIAs from the Pilsen Center. There's another incident where this 19-year-old guy was trying to groom 11-year-old girl using the phone for text messages.
That's disgusting.
Here's another kicker. So I got 225 incident reports, right, including mugshots from the inner Chicago. There was only 21 arrests. I got 100 from Pilsen. There was only 3 arrests.
Wow.
So the cops are telling them, they're being told not to arrest them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, there's another one that I don't know. This was local. I don't know if you 5-year-old kid before Christmas, Venezuelan kid died in the shelter. Did you
hear about that? I did hear about that. Yeah. Yeah.
I got that FOIA from that, So a lot of these illegals and liberals were, making a big, so it is a big deal that this child died, a huge deal. But they're blaming, the facility. Oh, they need better facilities, all this other crap, right?
Kids in cages.
Yeah, you'll see in the FOIA, the kid was sick for, lots was redacted. The kid was, and I think I might have sent that to you as well with the sex trafficking. The 5-year-old boy was sick for 3 days, and then they said they put him on Tylenol on the third day. And so they called the Chicago Fire Department, who showed up, and they saw bruising on the kid's legs. And so the police officers frisked the parents and they wouldn't let them ride in the ambulance with the young kid. And they put him in the squad. And unfortunately the boy died at the hospital, but they asked, the parents, what was the bruising caused on the kid's legs? And then they said, they're not sure. They think he fell when they went out and got pizza.
Oh God.
It's the kid died probably because the parents weren't paying attention, right, to get him the help. I mean, they called the ambulance after they saying he was deathly sick for three days. There was measles outbreaks and all these crazy things going around in the center and diseases. And they, you know, I'm assuming it's not the government's fault. It's the parents who are probably neglecting their kid. And for them to say he fell when they got pizzas, you know, if he's that sick, why would you go out and get pizza, both mom and dad, and let this, you know what I mean? Leave this kid like
Leave him alone at the migrant center, you know? I mean, he probably crossed through the Darien Gap with them, so they figured he was good for anything.
Yeah. And so, I mean, those are just some examples. And we have about average cost of this shitty education in the city of Chicago is $36,000 per student. 36 grand. Education's horrendous. I don't think I have to get into that.
No, I understand that most kids like just don't know how to do basic shit when they get out of high school in Chicago.
It's horrendous, right?
Yeah.
So now they're going to have to hire additional teachers that are bilingual, which is going to bump them up in their union contract, right? It's probably going to cost 40 grand per student. And then it's going to take away from the other kids. And who's going to pay for that, right? Their parents aren't contributing towards that.
No. It's going to be you guys, know? Of course.
So that's not buried into the money. It was about $1 billion so far between the city of Chicago, the state, and I think some of the federal funding. But another cost of doing business like this, which is not accounted for, is that when I go through this police reports, you know, sometimes there's 2 to 4 police off, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Taken away from providing security. And then when the Chicago Fire Department shows up with the ambulance, you know, many of them were taken to the hospital. I mean, tons of them, right? And they're for being beat up, for being sick, for whatever. So then we got to pay for that. And then they go to Lurie's Children's Hospital or they go to Northwestern. And then if they're admitted, who pays for that? Tons of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that cost is being added to the additional cost. I bet you it's not, Zach. You know
Certainly.
What I mean? I bet you it's not. And then get this, you know, Bodo Beef, for those of you who are familiar, you might know of Portillo's.
I have heard of Portillo's. I heard it's pretty good.
Yes. So their competitor is Bona Beef. You know, Portillo's probably a little bit better. It's just more of a preference, I guess. So Bona Beef got a $50 million contract. Some kind of corrupt BS from the city of Chicago to give Venezuelans Bona Beef. Swear to God.
Wow.
I mean, it's just crazy. And then to make matters worse, you know, like, since I saw you last, I started going to the homeless shelters. And I forgot to say.
Oh, no legs. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I went to a bunch of them. Actually, you went with Ben as well and stuff, right? And these people are living in these tents. And then we're putting these people in hotels. Not mm-hmm. one person. I understand some of these people are really, you know, drug addicted and stuff. But, you know, a lot of them that I met are not. Some of them have been waiting 3 years on the Chicago Housing Authority's list to get into housing. And they're putting these people in. They're putting them in the front of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Ben and I went to Polk and Des Plaines, where it's an intake center, and they have like 10 warming buses. And it says, you know, thanks to the CTA warming buses. And they got 10 bus drivers sitting in there 24/7 idling. So when the illegals come in and they have 6 like mini tents, they're not really tents. They're like plastic white. I don't know. It's like a military, like half right. circle thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so if, when they get overcrowded, they get to go stay in there. And some of these homeless people, when we had sub-zero freezing, said that they tried to get in the buses.
Oh, and forcing the homeless people to sleep outside on the concrete.
Yeah, that's true. And that first occurred in the beginning before they started going into the different, you know, Gage Park facility and, you know, and expanding their footprint on where they were housing them. So there's been such an uproar in the city of Chicago by the minority communities. I mean, it's incredible. And I you know, we talk offline. I want to get you a couple of these African-American pastors. They're all Trump. They're all pissed. I went to a Baptist church with a bunch of other pastors. I was the only white guy there with all these guys. And They're all voting Trump. They're out, you know, supporting Trump.
Good.
They're, you know, Trump's going to win in Chicago, but it's going to go purple, and it's going to be an incredible, incredible difference from the last election.
I tend to think that by the time we get to November, because it's only going to get worse, Terry. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this is not trending upwards. This is continuing to trend down. And that just means that it's going to be more and more difficult for average Americans to live and to make ends meet. You know, I was just I was at a doctor's appointment today. We were talking about the state of the nation. And, you know, Lisa and I used to be able to go to the grocery store and spend $100 a week. You know, I can eat pretty cheap. And now the same types of things, even like cheaper versions of what I used to get, I'm spending easily $300 a week on food for two people. And I just, you know, it's difficult for me to do. And just to think about, you know, families and you know, people who are really living hand to mouth under bread, you know, like, you know, not the kind of bread that you really even want to be putting in your mouth. This is like, you know, desperation food, eggs, the for like those three things. I just cannot believe how expensive this stuff is. And then to know that they're giving it away for free to these people who have no right to be here. And then they have an anchor baby, and then they get more money for that. And they're literally taken care of. I mean, not even grateful. Yeah. I mean, if I went to some European nation, if we got to go to, you know, Belgium or Brussels or Amsterdam, I don't care where it is. If I show up and they, you know, oh, hey, hello, sir, you're an American. Here's a free home to live on the river. You know, here's a card that's going to give you all the things that you need every single month. You know, here's job training. We're going to teach you to speak in Dutch so that you can get a good paying job. I would be so grateful. It would be awesome. And to think that these people just take it for granted. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, sure. This is what we were told. Just real quick, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier about Catholic Charities. Do you know if they have anything to do with the organization that's just south of the border that's operating a migrant camp that is passing out flyers telling people to make sure that they vote for Biden once they get here in November? Are they connected to that?
I have no idea. I don't know, but I know that they're across the border. They're helping them. They're coaching them. They're telling them what to say. They're giving them supplies. I'm not familiar with what organization. I know I've heard about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but they're like an enemy. Say some of the families, even though they don't belong here, you know, husband and wife come for a better, you know, make a better life. They don't get jobs. What are they going to do? They're going to turn to crime.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? They're going to be recruited by the gangs. You know, so, you know, like we keep hearing about the old cartel money. So what are they going to come over? Oh, I couldn't get a job. Okay, well, you know what, buddy? You got to do X, Y, and Z. Talk to Jose and you're going to start working. That's going to happen. People that might have had a good intent to make a better life for their families are going to be forced into a situation to commit crimes.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're probably living lives of crimes in, you know, Venezuela or Colombia or Honduras, wherever it is they're coming from. And they're going to do what they know once they get here. I mean, like, you know, hey, can I sling fentanyl for a couple of $1,000 a day? Or should I pick strawberries for $3 an hour? Well, that's an easy choice right there. You know, I mean, you don't got to work very long to make money selling fentanyl or selling any sort of drugs. You just stand on the corner. You sit around smoking weed and you just stand on the corner and wait for somebody to walk by. It's got to be the easiest money that you can possibly think of. And then did you hear what happened down here in Homestead? There was a woman who was abducted from her car as she was driving down the street. It was a couple of foreigners. I don't know if they were illegal or neither of them spoke English. So I just assumed that they were just, you know, illegals. But, you know, I think her husband and then like set her on fire and stuff. But I mean, you know, they were like $1,500 to kill somebody. Not a problem.
Right.
You know, life is cheap coming from those places. You know, third world problems coming into a first world nation, you know, they're going to bring those third world problems with them. And they're not going to have a problem living the same way they did down there. They're just going to do it a little bit more comfortably.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple examples, right? A couple with a four-year-old kid. The husband stabbed the wife so many times brutally in front of the child.
Yes, I heard about this. Yes.
Almost decapitated her. And you guys, you know, the audience could look up Oak Brook Mall, Venezuelans. There's been like 60, 70 arrests. Some of them have been arrested multiple times in Oak Brook Mall. And so they're being coordinated with the gangs in Chicago.
Yep.
I forgot the name of the mixer. You ever see those big high-end fancy mixers that, you know, women have to mix dough and like the big bowl?
Oh,
and
yeah. I mean, it's I know what you're talking about.
$500-$600.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One of the stories, they're being told items to go into steal, and yep. Some of them got arrested, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And the same person, they're, you know, so they're being coordinated and they're being told what, you know, what to steal. And then the gangs will sell it, you know, back on the black market once they get it. And then they get arrested and they get let out.
Sure. So are they're actually arresting them there? I mean, they're not doing a pull into New York. I mean, did they do bail reform and they bring them in, they process them and let them go?
So I'm in Illinois, so we have the bail reform.
Well, I heard you can like molest kids and basically not go to jail in Illinois.
Yeah.
And
they got and then DuPage County, where I live in, we have more stricter rules. We call it Blue Page County now because the GOP sucks big time, and I know some of you guys are watching. You suck. You turned us blue, and we do have a Republican prosecutor and a Republican sheriff. So they, you know, they're doing their best to work within the law and the guidelines that Pritzker put in place here in the state of Illinois. There's a judge in Chicago just recently thinks that the illegals should have the opportunity to carry a weapon in the city.
I saw that. Yeah, it was an Obama judge that made
They're getting driver's licenses now. That just came out.
And what does it require to get to register to vote in Illinois, Terry? Do you even need a driver's license, or you just bring in your Assurance wireless cell phone bill?
Yeah, I just walk in. It's like, oh my God. It's like, I can't believe, you know, it's like crazy. Just walk in, right, and give your address. And
it's insane.
You know, yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, so a lot of people hear him talking, you know, like, so here in Illinois, so supposedly they're going to have a driver's license with the same background as ours. I thought it was supposed to be different, but somebody told me that I'm not sure if that's true or not. They're like, oh no, they could vote. Like, to your point, they could vote, right? It doesn't, you know what, right now, so yes, there's going to be illegal voting with them, but it doesn't even matter. The next census, it's going to turn Congress upside down because Chicago, state of Illinois, New York, California is getting pumped all these illegals. When they do the census, these guys don't even have to vote. They're going to get additional headcount,
right?
Representatives. That's going to crush us, right? All in the blue states. So we're lucky people are moving from those to the red states, but I think they're moving more. They're pumping in more illegals. You know, you talked about anchor babies, right? I mean, we say there's 10 million. I think, you know, some are saying 20. Let's say 15, somewhere in between the 10 and 20. And by the time the census comes around with those anchor babies, that's going to be over 20, right? It'll be over 20.
Yep.
And then they're going to have representatives in all these blue cities and states. We're screwed.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, I'm really hoping that Congress, you know, like ensuring that the only people who are counted on the census are American citizens, because if they're not American citizens, they shouldn't be like accepted for any of this stuff anyways. It should have absolutely no bearing. I mean, you don't go to any other foreign country and they count the people who aren't supposed to be there. I mean, it's just the most idiotic and backwards idea that I can possibly imagine.
Yeah, you know, you made me think while you're talking. Is there any movement, a political movement from our side or PAC or anything that's trying to go out and get, you know, Republicans as well? I'm sure some Democrats that are kind of normal, if there's any left, you know, people are going to agree with us, right? That shouldn't happen. There should be a big movement from our side, right, to go and put political pressure to tell these people we got to stop this because it's going to collapse. Why should they be able to be counted and get access to our privileges when they don't even belong here?
Yeah, they shouldn't. Absolutely shouldn't. No, it's ridiculous. All right, real quick, let me just say thank you to NetFolks1 dropping a can over there on Pilled, and also thank you to Empress, who says, paying my late fee. Thank God I bailed out of Chicago last year. And you got, for anybody who's over on, I guess both Rumble and Pilled are experiencing issues. Oh my God, I'm actually looking at Pilled right now and on my not working. It's trying to connect. And I don't know why that is. It hasn't ever happened before, and it worked fine just a couple hours ago. So I sent an email over to iFindIt and to Matt1776. There is nothing that I did differently on my end to make it not work right. And the same is true with Rumble. These are the exact same settings. This is probably some deep state. The heck is the problem? But if you are experiencing issues, just know that the stream will be available in its entirety and it will work perfectly in the replay form, which sucks because I want people here to actually chat. So Hazel 50, do not go dropping links for products in my chat. You're gone. Thank you very much. Okay. I hate that. That's called stream sniping. When people show up to a live stream, they're like, hey, click my link. And Terry, let me also tell you a story. I've been meaning to tell this story to the audience. So through my website a couple of times this week, and I'm telling this as a cautionary tale because, Terry, this may be applicable to you and you may not even know it. It is possible to send links to people and have the link appear to be one thing, but if they click on it, then it will send a cookie to the person who sent it, which then tells them your IP address, and through that they can get your location. They might be able to get other information about you, but generally speaking, it's used to get your IP and then to get your physical location. So they could dox you or they could figure out more information to actually come and find you in person. I've had two emails sent to me this week through my website, which appear to be from real people. They put in a name, they put an email address, and they even put in a phone number. None of them appear to be actually real. And the body of the email tells me, like, hey, it's been a while since we talked, as if I've spoken to them. I never spoke to them in my life. And it says, hey, there's...
I got something like that, too.
Yeah. And it says, I came across this negative review online about Red Pill News, and I'm hoping it's just a misunderstanding. You know, check it out, and maybe you can help me clear it up. And the link itself goes to a website which is selling dump trucks, which has nothing to do with me or my business. But what clued me in is that when you look at the link, it's shortened. Like you can use like a link shortening service like Bitly or something like that. But what they'll do is they'll take a real website and then they will add the cookie onto the end, which will then forward the information. And because they shorten it, you can't see that it's there. But there are services online that allow you to do a preview generation of the link. And clearly, when I did the preview generation, I'm like, there's not going to be any type of information about my website on a website for dump trucks. So obviously, these people have bad intentions and they're trying to find out information about me. So, this is a lesson in OPSEC for the people in the audience. Never click a link that is coming from some person who pretends that they know you, and always check to see, like, what it actually is. If you see a link and it actually, it's like, this is, thegatewaypundit.com, you can test that. You can make sure that it's actually Gateway Pundit. But if you don't see that tracker information in there, then, it's safe to click. But there is significant danger out there to people. And I mention this because I've had a lot of people get messages through Telegram or they get tagged in the comments on my videos. And it's people like pretending to be me or pretending to be somebody representing me. And they say, oh, you won something, or like, I want you to message me on WhatsApp. I will never do that. I will never give anybody my phone number because I don't want people calling and texting me because it's, there's already enough people who have it. It's just too much. And I will never ask you to contact me on another platform. That's why I give out my email address. That's why I give up my website. I want to know where messages are going to come to so that I can screen them, because otherwise I would just be overloaded, and I already am. So regardless, I'm telling you guys because this is something that could happen to you. Over the weekend, met somebody who had actually fallen for a Bitcoin, kind of like a romance scam. They call it a pig butchering scam. Like Chinese scammers or Nigerian scammers, African scammers in general, they'll pretend to be me or they'll pretend to be somebody else who has a show. And then they'll get you to contact them on another platform. They will romance you. They will make you think that we've fallen in love. And then they'll ask you to send them Bitcoin. Because once you send them Bitcoin, you're never getting it back. And especially if they live in Africa or they live in China or something like that. And it's even worse. I mean, like, let's say that they get some personal information out of you in those messages. And then they get your IP address. They get your physical location. They can get your home address. They can then use that home address to find out more personal information through public records. And then maybe they open up accounts in your name. Maybe they open up credit cards in your name. Maybe they get your social security number as a result of that stuff. So just be careful, everybody. Like, there are so many scammers out there online right now. And I bring it up because we've got so many people now coming into this country with absolutely no documentation. They're looking at Americans like, you know, a pig in a slaughterhouse, stealing houses. He was working with Africans. You know, he's from Venezuela. He came here and he linked goodwill of American people and, frankly, the naivete of American people to steal whatever they could, to take their homes, to take their money. I mean, think about all that cash that guy was flashing. I mean, he wasn't working at Best Buy. OK, he certainly wasn't even working at, I don't know, Bennigan's or whatever. You know, I mean, like, he was getting that money probably from scamming people. So you guys have to be super, super careful. And Rumble, yes, is under constant attack. That's correct.
Man, Zach, I thought all these hot chicks were talking to me because
it's bad on Twitter, isn't it? Every time I look at my note, I don't even look at my notifications. Every time I look at them, it's like some chick with no top on and she's just like, you know, liking something or, you know, check on my OnlyFans. I'm like, no, yeah. No, sweetie. No, it's too funny.
We had a lot of issues with Rumble, too, recently. So I don't know if it's a coincidence. I am off the domestic terrorist watch list, so I don't think it's me.
Yeah. So, I mean, what happened?
With Rumble or with the domestic terrorist watch list?
I mean, both of them.
We might have talked about it last year. I was put on it 2 Decembers ago. Then Matt Gaetz had an attorney reach out to me and to actually text message me. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Okay, attorney for Matt Gaetz." I'm like, and it really was. And they heard about this, you know, stuff that was going on with the watch list, and he talked to the attorney, and actually Matt Gaetz wrote a demand letter to Garland, Ray, and Mayorkas in my name in behalf of me. It was awesome.
That's directed cool
on the congressional paper and stuff, and he was pretty forceful, right, wanting to know why, you know, is it because he peacefully attended January 6th? Is it because he's a vocal school board parent? Are you keeping track of people that were in DC? Are you keeping track of school board parents? You know, he asked 4 questions. And those scumbags acknowledged 2 marches ago that they received it, and they've never answered Matt Gaetz. I know they sent another follow-up letter. Mm-hmm. So think about it, Zach. If you were, you know, the head of the DOJ or FBI or whatever, and you get a letter from a congressman asking why, you know, you put this guy on a watch list, you would respond, well, he did X, Y, and Z, or this Y, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Because I didn't do anything.
No.
I mean, they're doing it to President Trump, right? I'm nobody. And when you hear him say that, right, you're next. Well, no, we're already, I mean, the poor J6ers, those guys, I mean, they are political prisoners. They are. Oh, I had a guy call me today. He's self-surrendering in Chicago.
Oh, God.
In Indianapolis, he got eight months, and his wife got 3 months. And I looked him up, and he got my number from, I'm getting calls like you too. And he's got my number from some other person. And they were in that gangway area. Remember where all the beating was and stuff. And he goes, I was telling people to stop and stuff. Even in the pictures I found, he was holding his hands up and, you know, he was upset and just wanted to reach out to me. And the poor guy, he didn't have the money to hire an attorney. You know, so it was going to cost between him and his wife $150,000. Oh. Attorneys weren't really embracing, you know, I mean, it's all bullshit in D.C. corrupt. So I asked the guy, you know, you only got 8 months. Why are you self-surrendering to MCC, Metropolitan Correction Center?
Yep.
And he goes, well, that's you know, where I go, you live in Indianapolis in Terre Haute. There's a penitentiary and there's a camp. There's a camp with the farm fields and chapel and stuff. And he goes, well, I went there. I go, that's because you had a public defender who don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So the guy is like, you know, 25 miles from Terre Haute. He's going to drive to Chicago and MCC Correctional, you know. So since I spoke to you last, the sheriff that I just mentioned came after me because I'm calling the rhinos out.
Ooh.
And I got in trouble 35 years ago and exposed my background. I changed my life. You know, yep. I got Got in trouble with Italian guys back in the day.
Sure.
Totally changed my life. I'm not proud of who I was. I'm proud of, you know, who I am. So the sheriff exposed all that to try to discredit me because I wouldn't shut up. So anyway, I'm familiar with this. In the city of Chicago with little narrow windows, and you're locked up, and there's like a little area on the rooftop they put you in. This guy who didn't get arrested for fighting with police officers going in the Capitol. He was standing there where people were supposedly part of the crowd that was pushing into him. So he could, you know, so that's what he got in trouble for. And they're going to make this guy self-surrender down at MCC where he could be in a farm. And his wife's going to North Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they're splitting them up. I mean, that's part of the punishment. They're splitting them up and then they're sending him somewhere where he might get raped or he might get stabbed or, you know, I mean, just the worst possible things might happen to him. And, you know, I mean, they're hoping to make the punishment for these guys and these gals as horrible as they can possibly imagine. I mean, talk about cruel and unusual punishment. I actually had Anthony Sabatini, lawyer, on the show earlier today. He's Jake Lang's lawyer. He's lawyers for a couple of January 6th defendants. And Jake, he spent 20 days in the hole because he talks to people outside of prison. He comes on my show, you know, and he's obviously been very vocal about the plight of January 6ers. Yeah, he was in solitary in the hole for 20 days. He was out for less than a day, and then they put him right back in the hole. He was supposed to be on the show today. And they said they probably heard him on the phone with me yesterday planning the show.
Is that their justification or they?
Well, they say, oh, you know, he's creating dangerous conditions at the prison, basically, because of his First Amendment activities.
Yeah. Yeah. What they're doing to this husband and wife, it's like, you know, like some of the mob guys from the East Coast, they'd send them out to the Midwest and vice versa as punishment, to your point. And these people, you know, these people shouldn't even have got arrested. Right. To go through this and have this happen to them and their families. And it's just we have to sit back and watch this. And, you know, so the guy told me they're now starting to arrest people that were just on the grass and trespassing. And if that's the case, they're going to have to arrest thousands of more people, you know. So hopefully this election comes quicker sooner than later.
Yeah, I would hope so. I just muted somebody for this live stream, Six Pack 45. I've never seen your name before. I didn't really mean to mute you for the entire stream. I just meant to delete that comment. So if you're just here for the first time, sorry, it was an accident. But don't drop links in the chat. That's the lesson. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting, the things that they're doing. And, you know, I mean, I wake up every day and, you know, make the sign of the cross and say my prayers because, you know, I could so easily have been one of those people. And every single day as they arrest more for just the most innocuous things, people who were just present there, you know, I mean, that Fed Ray Epps, I mean, he's got absolutely nothing happened to him. And he's the only person I've seen on camera saying, you know, we're going to storm the Capitol. They use that. That's the tagline. Yeah. You know, they were storming the Capitol. OK, well, you know, that was Ray Epps. That was nobody else.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, how do these people go to, like, this couple going to jail? They did less than Ray Epps did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
This husband and wife are going to prison, and is definitely weaponization of law enforcement. Just like, you know, that's what I brought up with the sheriff. Same thing. They're following the same traits as the left. I mean, you know, this guy sent state police to my house.
Oh man, that's awful.
And, you know, he was bragging that he was going to do it before it happened.
Wow.
So I didn't know what was happening. And they showed up on my front porch. And I was criticizing a senator from a Republican senator who's taking all this money from the teachers union. Mm-hmm. And daughters are in the same. Politicians are calling me out, the media. He goes, well, if I get involved, it becomes political distraction. I go, what are you talking about? They want porn. We don't. Just say it doesn't belong to school. He refused. So I kept calling him out. And they told me to back off because I'm a Republican. This, I go, this guy's not a Republican. He's a Democrat. He's taking money from all these unions. So the sheriff sent me a message. He go, I got your message. You don't intimidate me and our children. I'm going to pummel you on my little podcast. I didn't mean physically.
Of course not.
The sheriff took that and bragged about it. And the next thing you know, I got two state coppers, the investigators.
Wow.
And they said, do you know why I'm here? I go, well, I never threatened anyone. And then they showed me, I go, I meant pummel on my podcast. And the cops laughed. They go, that's what we thought you meant. The higher ups sent us. It's all you need to say, Mr. Newsom. You have a good day. Okay.
Well, at least they were cool about it.
Oh, they were super cool. You know, it's bullshit though. Like Illinois, you know, we have two fronts. We got the Democrats and the equally dangerous Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Not many people are, you know, they should be like, there should be a mad rush on what's going on in the city of Chicago. All these politicians should be speaking up. The mayor of Downers Grove here is supposed to be a Republican. I was calling him out. And then he posted a letter and a comment saying he's calling them travelers. We want to make sure the travelers are safe.
Travelers, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not just passing through. They're setting up shop. Yeah, you know? I mean, that's tourists.
Yeah, right.
That's all they were. That's all they were.
Yeah.
TZ Burton over on Rumble says he's fed up. He says what he said. I'm done supporting the cops. Here's the thing. You know, and we got to be real careful to not give like blanket proclamations, like to blame an entire group of people, you know, because I mean, like, you know, I'm a Republican. OK, I'm going to vote Republican. You know, I think I'm more of a libertarian in terms of the vast majority of my views. But I mean, I have a spectrum that I fall upon. I'm a conservative. OK, my views are conservative. It just so happens that Republicans running for office are most closely aligned with my political views. But fuck the rhinos, okay? And fuck the Democrats who are destroying our country. It doesn't mean, however, that I hate all of them. And the same with cops. You know, there are plenty of good cops, plenty of good sheriffs, but there's also plenty of cowards out there, okay? I support the public officials who take an oath to the Constitution to represent the American people. Those are the people that I support. I do not support dirty cops. I do not support corrupt politicians. I do not support Republicans in name only who are simply going to come around and tell me that they are only to turn around and fund Planned Parenthood. Okay. People use labels so that they can sneak by you and they can convince you that you're somebody that you should trust. But every time there's a bad apple, just don't forget. I don't think that we ever should allow those bad apples to sour the good apples in our eyes. It's just all about the individual. It's about the person. You know, I in general support law enforcement. Okay. But I'm not going to support a cop, obviously, who's going to treat me like a piece of dirt because he knows that, you know, I support President Trump. I mean, he's not a public servant at that point. He's not, you know, protecting and the public interest. You know, he's acting as an authoritarian. And certainly I'm against authoritarians of all stripes. It doesn't matter what they call themselves. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care who you go to bed with at night. I don't care what your political party is that you're affiliated with. I'm looking at the man. I'm looking at the woman. I'm looking at, you know, what morals and ethics you stand on, you know, how you live your life. Do you support this country? If you don't support this country, then you don't belong here either, and you need to go find another job. Terry, we've got to go take a break real quick for the second half of the show. So everybody sit tight. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel.
Okay.
All right. So Terry and I were just talking off air about owning your against you if you're not ashamed of it and you own it. And let's be real. People are going to fuck up. Pardon my language. We make mistakes. Okay. And God gives us the opportunity to change our lives. God gives us the opportunity to be the type of people that he intended us to be. But we don't start out that way. You know, I mean, maybe, you know, when we're kids, obviously we're innocent. All right. But then the world corrupts us. And as a result of that corruption, we make mistakes and we have to navigate the world. And along the way, we're going to do things that we're not proud of. But nobody can use that against us unless we allow them to do so. So go ahead and tell us what went down with that sheriff trying to use your past against you.
Yeah. So real quick, you know, because I've been talking openly about this when I was in my early 20s, I used to work out this big bodybuilder job. I was a big weightlifter. And these older Italian guys that were in chop shops, everyone like looked up to them, and knew who they were. And they started talking to me, and I was a doorman, and they brought me into, you know, their house and kind of recruited me, right?
Of course. Yeah.
And I never saw drugs, never been involved in, you know, and these guys were big time. And I got recruited. They were actually switching. This is a whole story in itself, from chop shops to drugs in the early mid 80s. It was more lucrative, right? And all the, you know, so I got recruited on early there, and I got involved in something that was probably way beyond what I was expecting, you know, and eventually got in trouble and went to prison for it. That was 35 years ago. I haven't been in trouble since. Changed my life. I mean, dramatically, right?
Good for you.
Again, I'm not proud of who I was. I'm proud of, you know, who I am. I was never a drug addict, even though the sheriff's telling everyone that I'm 62 and I'm still a cocaine addict, when I never was. It was purely business. It was wrong. So he's saying that to everybody. So I was told that he was going to try to, he was going to send the police here to try to get me arrested. He knew about my background. He's going to do a mailing. I didn't know what that meant. So, you know, the police showed up. They knew I didn't do anything wrong. The guy lied. The cops said they got an anonymous email. So when we said this on Tom's show, it's like the guy, he had somebody send it in for him, right? That I was threatening a senator. And the cops showed me a printout of the anonymous email. They didn't know who sent it to him. And so then the next week I show up to my Republican township meeting. I talked to Laura Logan that morning about J6. You know, she's done her J6 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew about what was happening. And I'm like, man, I go, this sheriff's supposed to be speaking tonight at our township meeting. And she would have asked, she's like, you go get your fucking ass up to the police station. She goes, file an incident report. And she goes, you go. And so I'm like, okay. So I go to drive over to my police station. I sit in the parking lot. I'm like, oh shit. I chickened out. I went home. I'm like, I'm going to go in as an ex. You know, I'm going to go in and file against the sheriff of DuPage County. I went back home. And then she started bitching. And she's like, she was yelling, get up there. Swear to God. This little lady, you know, so I went up there and I filed the incident report. Thank God it's on file.
That's great. Right?
So I can't see the future. You know what I mean? Tom Renz or Laura Logan, we all knew all this stuff was going to happen before it happened. So I walk into the meeting and I'm sitting at the same table every single time. There's like 18 of them, white tablecloth tables. And
wow,
it was like they were super thick. So the first page, the Southern Poverty Law Center wrote a hit piece on me.
Oh, they're the best.
So they had that on there. And the guy that wrote it was a scumbag from Chicago, Jeff Tischler, Antifa associate, piece of shit. He was sicked after me because of the Democrats that I was going after for the porn. So he tried to silence me and scare me and, you know, discredit me.
Yep.
The next page was sedition hunters. You know, sedition hunters. Oh,
yeah. They're jerks too. Yeah.
They had my picture. That's the Antifa site that they're running with the feds, right?
Yep.
They had. So these are Republicans. Republican sheriff is using Antifa propaganda. The next page had my name. The page after that, which is really pisses me off, they listed my mother's, my father's, my daughter's, my wife's names.
Oh, scumbags.
A whole page of my family, my nephews.
Wow.
I'm like, holy shit, you know. And then so I'm sitting there and the sheriff's standing in the back watching, right?
Probably gloating.
And then another guy said, Terry, look at, they got a camera. They hit a camcorder to the left of the podium on an angle of the stage, aimed right. I sit in the same spot.
Oh my God. They wanted to get your reaction.
I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, I called Laura Logan. I said, Laura, I can't believe this. I said, I don't know. I thought they were going to arrest me or something. Right.
Yeah.
I said, she goes, you sit there and you just effing smile from ear to ear. She goes, and I did. It was so hard, man. You know,
I bet
it was so hard. And other parents went and picked up all of those packets of information. stacked them up. This all happened like right when the meeting was going to start. And they big stack and they put it in the car for me. I was like shell shocked. I was like, they even put a 1992 arrest. My father has the exact same name, different middle initial. Uh-huh. So I'm through this pack and I'm like, unlawful use of weapon. I don't remember that one. My dad's 85 now. So later I'm like, Dad, I go, what the fuck is this?
Oh, you I didn't even drunk. Know.
Because I was drunk. They put it in the packet trying to make it like me. I got enough stuff. You know? And he laughed. He goes, yeah, I was drunk that day. I'm like, all right. So they did all. Oh, and then on the back, there were 7 pages on the back end, Zach, of mugshots, full back pages of sex offenders. I've never been accused, alleged, joked, criticized, charged ever in my whole life. See, there was no mugshot of me. It was all set. I've never been charged. So here's the kicker. So when all this came up, it backfired on this piece of shit, right?
Good.
People upset. Then I find out from other political operatives when he first ran for sheriff, and it's an ABC story. And so if your followers, if you guys go to my my Twitter site, I did a show with Emerald yesterday, and I got all the evidence out there. So this sheriff took $100,000 from a guy on a sex offender registry list. He took money from multiple channels, multiple businesses. He's got assaults, drugs, impersonate police officer. So he was asked on ABC 5 years ago, and he lied at the time. He knew this guy really well. And when it came out, and then they squashed it, right? But it came out once. He goes, oh, well, I get lots of donors. I don't know the backgrounds of everyone or if that's true. It's true. The Gateway Pundit, it's on there. They did a story. The writers reached out to him, gave him a chance. He goes, oh, you're reaching out for that drug cocaine dealer, Terry Newsom. This is he didn't answer the question to the writer, right?
No.
So now I got his ass. So now the rhinos are calling me. I got a call this morning. I got a call yesterday. They want me to meet with the sheriff to make amends for the election.
What do you got to make them?
I told these guys, and these guys are friends of mine. They're using them. I said, this guy punched me in the face, started the fight. I'm going to finish the fight. And he's like, oh, fight's over. But no, screw that.
Terry,
that's why I'm on your show, too.
Is it too late for you to run for sheriff?
It's Illinois. It might have liberal policies for ex-offenders to be sheriff now.
I was going to say, you never know, dude. You never know. I mean,
He's got a primary challenger. I'll leave it at that. I'm very happy. He's not going to win. I'm going to destroy the truth. He weaponized law enforcement. He took this money. He kept it. You know what, Sheriff? You're probably going to see this because they all pass it around. They watch everything we do. Our enemies, the rhinos.
Yep.
So, Sheriff, why don't you give that $100,000 to kids that were affected nonprofits by sex offenders? I know it'll eat into the money you're raising, but why don't you do that? He's got a fundraiser next week.
I think that sounds like an excellent idea. What is his name, Sheriff?
Sheriff James Mendrick. Jim Mendrick. I call him Mendick for short.
Sheriff Jim Mendrick. Yes. If you're any kind of a man at all, you will give that $100,000 donation you received from a sex offender to a cause that will support children who were abused by sex offenders. That's dirty money. All right. This is disgusting. All right. I'm not surprised. I'll be perfectly honest with you. Not only because it's Illinois, but because it's just politics. This is the kind of thing they do. You know, they're more than happy to take money and they're not going to ask where it comes from. Although I find it difficult to believe that a $100,000 donation given to a local sheriff in the state of Illinois isn't going to go unnoticed. I mean, that's the kind of thing you give them a call back and you thank them for their generous support.
Yeah, he played stupid on ABC. He knows exactly who it was. And just to be clear, it was multiple donations through different channels. You know what I mean?
That sounds like he was like, you know, breaking FEC violations.
But it was 100,000 channel through the source. But it's so ironic. It, you know, I was at our township meeting and I was filming. He told me not to film and we're not allowed to film. I'm like, I got up, you know, in front of he's at my township. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You got a surveillance camera in the November meeting. You were surveilling and he's filming me. And I'm like, I go, arrest me, Barney Fife. He goes, oh, you'd like that. So he's really arrogant. You know, the guy's a clown. The guy, he doesn't deserve to be in law enforcement.
You know what? Let me try something, because people are saying there's problems. And I actually, now that I think about it, my internet was cut for like 3 days. And like, I was the only person in the area that it didn't work for. So now I'm starting to get more paranoid about it. Let me just try something here real quick. I'm just going to shut my camera off because I got to go around the back of the computer. All right, Terry, tell the audience a story.
Sure. Let me think what else. So you guys, for the watchers that our viewers are watching this, please go check out this story. It just came up, Emerald Robinson's show, and you'll see all the evidence of Sheriff Mendrick and the things that he's done. I'm not as necessarily concerned about myself, but about my family and stuff, and put my family's names. I was going to have to start talking again.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that the audience would have heard you because, well, I have a hard line that goes directly into the modem that I figured, hey, if I can avoid using Wi-Fi, maybe that will be better. But let me just let me try another network here. I've got two networks, and it may cut off momentarily while it's reconnecting. All right, Terry, are you there? Testing, Terry. Testing, testing. 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 Terry. Are you there, Terry?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. All right, guys. I don't know if that's going to do anything, but hopefully we'll see if it does. All right, we actually do have a caller on the line. Let me give a couple of thank yous over here. TZ Burton, he says, how do we make inroads with voters in the big cities? I think if we can win 20% more of the electorate, we can change the country. Seattle is 80% Democrat, and the suburbs lean heavy Democrat, too. Well, I mean, from my perspective, TZ, I think that, you know, the best way to make inroads with those people is to make their lives as unpleasant as possible due to the policy decisions made by the people they formerly supported. And I truly believe that we're seeing that play out right now. As Seattle is an example, you know, so they decriminalized all drugs. They've instituted bail reform. You know, I mean, what if they defunded the police? So what has that resulted in? That's resulted in open air drug markets, you know, just like, you know, lots of disgusting conditions for people there. Massive amounts of crime. You had Seattle, wasn't it Seattle or was it Portland, Oregon, where they had a portion of the city taken over, the Chaz or.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of the, I think maybe it was Portland, but one of those two cities, they had, you know, literally a commie takeover of like a square city block, you know. And I mean, since that time, it's only gotten worse. Since that time, they've only had a greater influx of illegal aliens. So, you know, I think that the decline of America itself is going to force these people to reevaluate their political decisions. And I truly do believe that we're going to have a major swing to the right for Donald Trump when we get to the election. On top of that, and I've said this so many times, and I think I'm right about this, with the presence of RFK Jr., he's going to siphon off a fairly sizable chunk of the Biden vote, people who would otherwise have not voted for Donald Trump. Maybe they wouldn't ended up, maybe they would have just not voted if it wasn't for RFK. You have, you know, lots of people who vote independent. I think that many people who vote independent probably be split along Donald Trump and RFK Jr. And then on top of that, you're also going to have a lot of Muslims. Think about all those protests that we've seen erupting around the country in the last week or so. You know, those are people, they are low information voters. They are largely radical leftists, and they are angry with Biden because he's not saying free Palestine or he's not doing enough to thwart the Zionists, as they say. So those people are not going to vote for Joe Biden. I think that what you're going to see come November is Biden is going to lock up the dead voter bloc. He's going to lock up the illegal voter bloc. I mean, those are the groups that are going to vote for Biden. Those illegals, this is just a theory. But I mean, not everybody, not all of the illegals that are coming here are lawless criminals. Yes, they are breaking laws by coming here illegally. But they're still coming from Hispanic cultures where family, traditional families are valued. All right. And I think that may have a play in the decision of whom they vote for come November. Because, you know, I mean, these people, they're Christian. They have families. They actually, if they do come here because they want a better life, well, they're going to reject the radical left policies of the Biden regime. So you may see a surprising number of those illegals who end up voting for Donald Trump. Now, you know, if they don't get some sort of legal protection before the time we get to the election, then likely they're just going to vote for Biden because they're going to do whatever is in their own self-interest. But if they can afford to not vote for Joe Biden, you may see something else happening. I don't know, Terry, any ideas on that front in terms of reaching those people who seem to be hell-bent on self-destruction?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I'm seeing it firsthand. Jimmy Tillman, he's the president of Martin Luther King Republicans, African-American guy in Chicago. Devin Jones, I helped introduce Devin Jones to some of the Republicans. We opened Devin, all his art. He grew up where I originally grew up, the southwest side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. We got the first ever African-American Republican office in the city of Chicago. Southside Republican office. That's a guy you got to have on your show sometime.
Wait, is he like an alderman or something like that?
Yeah, Devin Jones. He's a comedian. Yeah.
Okay, so there was some guy who holds political office in Chicago, and he followed me after you were on the show last time.
And it's Devin, probably.
Okay,
yeah.
I reached out to him. I sent him a message, and I was like, hey, I'd love to have you on the show, but he never responded. So if you can put us in touch, then I would appreciate it.
Yeah. And then Pastor Lori, just like our side, not everybody all gets along together.
Yeah.
And they're all doing their own thing, right? In a good way, in a positive way, in different things in different parts of the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
But they're all like Trump, or they're ready. I mean, they're all upset. They're pissed off.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Freedom Machines, you're here. Hold on just a sec. Let's let Terry finish his thought.
So Mr. Freedom, people are ready to come our way. I think. I got Joe Martucci. He was the president of Teamsters. He's 85 years old, 40 years. He's a Republican. He could talk openly now.
Yeah.
You know, I all the other friends that were ex-union leaders, the old Italian guys, buddies of mine, they're all fed up, man. They're talking about, there was a guy in New York today for the union. He was on Fox News. His union guys are voting Trump.
Absolutely. That's a block I haven't even talked about. But I mean, that is a huge block. I mean, I remember my whole life being told that union votes Democrat. OK, they do what their representatives tell them to do. Obviously, they don't want to rock the boat. They think that Democrats are going to protect their jobs. That's obviously not true. And that's been proven demonstrably not true over and over and over again. So now Joe Biden, you know, he shows up to a union job site. Nobody wants to talk to him. I saw a clip this past week of some guys doing some construction in New York. And somebody asked him, you know, do you have any special message for President Biden? And he said, F you. He walked away. So all those people, you know, I mean, you think about President Trump, you know, he shows up to court in New York City and there are thousands of people there just, you know, sending accolades, chanting and screaming for him, just begging for him to like he's Jesus walking through the market, reaching out and touching people. And people absolutely love him because they know that when he returns, it's going to put America back on the right track. Now, it's not the only answer. When Donald Trump returns, we have to figure out, and he's going to have to help us figure out exactly what comes after him. We need to get people in office and need to surround him with people that we're going to be able to trust and that are going to support the America First agenda. And I've talked about this so many times, but Project 2025 through the Heritage Foundation, that's all they've been working on ever since President Trump left office. President Trump, I truly believe, in the background, without saying too much, has been solely focused on ensuring that the people who make up the bulk of his new administration are going to be loyalists, not because he wants sycophants around him, but because he wants people around him who hold the same values. He doesn't need more Paul Ryans. He doesn't need more Reince Priebuses. He doesn't need, you know, anybody who just had acted like they were on his side only to turn around and stab him in the back. President Trump is much, much more used to the idea of how Washington, D.C. works. And this was when he came into office the first time. That was like the first thing that I said to myself, you know, how is he going to do what he needs to do when he's surrounded by D.C. loyalists? OK, you know, if these people are career bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., then they're the type of people I tend to not like. Okay, I know how the public sector works. These people are corrupt. It's the worst type of nepotism that exists. You know, it's like, you know, my cousin's friend gets me a job and then I'm going to do whatever it is that I want to do because now I'm in a union. I don't really have to produce anything. I'm going to get a fat paycheck from the federal government. And it's like monopoly money. They just keep printing it. So who cares? No, nobody has any incentive to do anything better. But if President Trump comes in and he puts America First people in positions that are going to allow them to cut the fat, get rid of those people who are just not doing anything. They're just essentially making an argument for themselves to get a paycheck. That's all that they're doing. Then we're going to be able to change things. Real quick, Freedom Machines, before we get your comments, let me say, Freight Awakening, good to see you, buddy. Still working, but great to see you, Zach. Mohap amount of love and support for Terry. Great guest. Love those big dick Chi-Town energons. The Obamas. Michelle Obama has a penis. That's what Mohap means, Terry. And we always say it on the show, Mohap. So, I've done a couple of like long shows on the Obamas before. And I would love to pick your brain on your thoughts on the Obamas at sometime in the future. Freedom Machines, Mr. Amazing. Good to hear from you, buddy. How you doing?
Absolutely, absolutely awesome. I love all your guests. And I will say, it makes me want to rip my eyebrows out of my face at times because it is infuriating. I had a whole little thing here, but you mentioned that the union guys in that one interview, what's one thing you'd say to Biden? And he just goes, fuck you, and walks off so fast. And I was watching it so much, I had to slow it down to like 0.25 speed so I could get the full effect. It was absolutely hilarious.
I love it. Hold on real quick. Can you guys, people on Pilled, can you tell me if it's working now? Because I had toggled it on and off earlier, and then Matt said that I should do that again. And, okay, it was working for a moment, and now it stopped working again. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Amazing.
I had to have you on three different devices because each one, I realized that they were all doing it at the same time, but they were running at different speeds. But wow. You'd be in the middle of one same word on one device. And anyways, so to tie into what he was talking about, especially with all the illegal aliens coming in that are being funded by our treasonous politicians, they're using our tax-paying dollars to fund the foreign invasion into our country. And then when they get here, they're cooking out our veterans and our citizens from the shelters and the schools. I mean, like, it's fucking treason.
Yeah.
All the politicians that we're supposed to depend on are committing treason against our own country, and they're using our money to do it. And that last week when you had Nate Kane on, that one made me, when you look at what's happening to your guest tonight,
yep,
what happened with Nate Kane and with Donald Trump, they are protecting the Bidens. And when I say they, I'm talking the deep state, especially the three-letter agencies like the FBI and the CIA. They are taking evidence that was turned over to Hillary Clinton, like laptops and Blackberries and all of this stuff that were not already destroyed, and they were destroyed in the possession of the FBI. If you're in the FBI headquarters and you go into the evidence locker and you have to sign in and scan your badge, they know who saw that laptop last, and that's a pretty quick investigation on who is the one that touched it last that destroyed it. But for whatever reason, that's not allowed to even be questioned, even on the news.
Mm-hmm.
But they're raiding Mar-a-Lago. And yeah, it reminds me of what your guest tonight is talking about with him going up against the sheriff, and they're obviously trying to throw all of this mud against the wall against him. And it's like, where do we, the people, as well as your guests, where do you turn when you turn evidence over to the FBI and then they start investigating you? Like whenever, like Nate Kane's trying to point out the election fraud. And I have a feeling your guest is going to run up against election fraud. Just like, I mean, Carrie Lake had as big of a platform almost as Trump, like publicly on the news, like mainstream news as well. And I don't know why there aren't crowds of people wearing Hobbs is a fraud to every single place that Katie Hobbs goes to. I mean, that was absolutely ridiculous. That was almost as blatant as what they did to Trump. So I feel like the people, obviously local action is imperative, and that's why I applaud your guest, is he's trying to be in the fight, which is paramount. But when you look at everything, they're defunding the police, they're funding the foreign invasion, Antifa and BLM were setting fires to occupied buildings. They created Chaz, where four people were murdered. They started walking around the streets with assault rifles and pistols and were extorting businesses. If you don't pay us, we're going to burn your building next.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where the fuck do we, the people, turn to?
Well,
sorry, I went on.
No, you're okay. You're okay. I mean, Terry, I mean, I know my answer. We have to band together. I mean, community, in my opinion, is the only answer. And the answer is also not bigger government, but smaller government and more decentralized government. I think that what we're seeing happen right now in America is a stripping away of federal authority. We are witnessing the federal government of the United States of America abdicating its responsibility to keep the citizens of this country safe. They are failing to do so. They seem to have, wholesale forgotten their oath to the Constitution. As the federal government gets bigger, it gets less and less effective. It gets, just more and more corrupt. And the only thing that I think is an answer is for local citizens to come together and to create their own sort of government. And that's why I suggested that Terry run for sheriff. Because, regardless of whatever you've done in your past, I mean, I don't even know if there are any laws about, being able, because, I mean, sheriff, it's an elected position, it may be law enforcement, but I mean, felons can run for Congress, you can basically do whatever you want. I mean, hell, I mean, they're trying to make it so felons can vote. Felons can own guns in certain places now, it really doesn't do anything. I thought that our justice system was corrupt. So, hey, you were the victim of a corrupt justice system, Terry. Why not step into a role like that? Because, you understand it. You understand how things work. The sheriff right now, he is demonizing you because you're calling for accountability. Think about how twisted that is.
Yeah, you
know,
you
we cannot trust a person like that. We can't trust that somebody who has proven to us that they don't care about you, they don't care about the other people they're supposed to represent. There is absolutely no reason that we should trust that they're going to change the way they do things. But you've proven, Terry, that you've changed your life, that you've changed how you live your life and the things you do and the decisions you make. And what's so bad about what you're doing? Oh, you give people a hard time because they refuse to denounce pornography in the schools. I wonder if that senator has a child who's in elementary school. I mean, they might, but they're probably in a private school where they don't have to worry about blowjob books in the library.
Zach, his daughter and my daughter are on the same volleyball team. That's why I got pissed off. Same volleyball team.
Whoa.
So when I criticize them, I tell people when I speak, locally here, if we have a senator who's a Republican that won't stand up and defend his own child, how's he going to defend my child? He's not. Or your child, or you, right? If you won't even simply say porn doesn't belong in the school because you're getting bought off by teachers union, what else are you being paid off to do that we don't know about? What else is the sheriff doing to weaponize his department or his position to go after other people if he's coming after me for calling a guy a rhino?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a cardinal offense. Don't call out the people who are doing things wrong or the people who have abandoned their constituents. Pleb, just sit down. Accept it. That's what they want. They want you to shut up. And this is, again, why I think it's so important for us to be as loud as possible. I think that we have a responsibility to shout it from the rooftops, because otherwise Nobody's going to do anything. All right. If they think that they will never be held accountable, then they will never be held accountable. Then they're certainly not going to hold themselves accountable. I mean, none of these politicians ever show up and say, you know what, I did something wrong, and I'm going to change the way that I govern as a result of it. You know, they have to be forced into changing the things that they do. And nine times out of 10, that way, I mean, it's just a PR release. You know, they just put out a statement and say, oh, you know, after a lot of reflection, a lot of prayer, a lot of time with my family, you know, I have reevaluated myself, and I promise to be a better public servant from here on out. But fuck them. How often do they? How often do they? Never. Rarely, if ever, do they.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Not only do they, you mentioned their oaths, they aren't forgetting their oaths. They know their oaths, and they are deliberately going against them. Just what you guys were just talking about, think about Ilhan Omar was being exposed by, not Judicial Watch, what's the other one, where he goes undercover with the cameras?
James O'Keefe, OMG?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So O'Keefe went undercover. They were exposing not only Ilhan Omar's election fraud, but also the fact that she was messing with the campaign funds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why the elections are so important, is because if they control the election and there are no actual free and fair elections, there's no consent of the governed, and we the people are utterly fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Unless if we can prove, like, that's the biggest thing that I see is a true free and fair election for this next election.
Yeah.
And as well as all of them going forward, because if they go out there and they spend all this money on billboards and TV and whatever the hell commercials, but they're sitting there, just like Joe Biden himself said, it's who counts the votes.
Yep, exactly. Who count the votes? So, you know, come November, and I've said this before, Freedom Machines, I don't know if you heard this, but, you know, I was commenting earlier on, like, you know, what's different about this election. Obviously, the presence of a third party candidate, independent candidate, is going to present some real issues for them in terms of siphoning off all those votes. But also, you know, where we really lacked in 2020 was the presence of poll watchers and legal representation for conservatives. Yes. And for Republicans. The RNC did nothing. Ronna Romney McDaniel was buying floral arrangements and taking private jets and getting lip injections. This time around, President Trump, the Trump Organization controls the RNC now. All right. You know, you've got Michael Whatley. President Trump chose him for a reason. OK, as I said earlier, I think he's learned his lesson about, you know, ineffectual D.C. insiders. That's not going to be Michael Whatley. Michael Whatley is there because President Trump wants him there. Now, maybe he's weak. OK, and maybe that's why Laura Trump is his VP. Maybe she's really running the show, because certainly I think that it's bad optics to put a Trump family member as the head of the RNC. But you have her, you have her as the vice chair. Well, you know, she's got a lot of power. I mean, she can direct Michael Whatley on exactly what to do. And they're and they're training thousands of lawyers all around the country. And Michael Whatley's directive is that you are in the room. You are there when they're counting the votes, because if we've got people watching, it doesn't matter who's counting the votes. You know, in this instance, it's going to be the people who are watching the people count the votes. How easy is it going to be for them to cheat in the same way they did before, if you've got somebody looking over their shoulder and ensuring that, you know, hey, you're not actually matching those signatures, you know, let's get this taken care of right now. Or you already double counted that stack of ballots. We can't allow that. I mean, they're going to be ready to file legal challenges, and they're going to be ready to hold these people accountable. That is worlds away from what we had back in 2020. And, you know, all it would take when President Trump comes back into office, all it would take is an executive order outlawing electronic voting machines, okay, in all elections. All we need is paper ballots.
Especially foreign ones.
Yes, especially foreign ones, you know, and it doesn't count if they have headquarters down here in Florida, okay? Like, I mean, if they've got employees that are over in Serbia or wherever they are that are actually gaining access to personal identifying information and the actual raw ballots, you know, we can't have that happening. everything has to take place here on American soil. Nothing should nothing should leave the precinct. Okay, the unless it's a total and it's going to a central location, those totals should go from precinct to the state headquarters. Okay, and then once it's at the state headquarters, before it's sent off, it should be double verified with what the precincts sent over. And then once it gets sent to a final federal destination, then it should be checked again. You should have like multiple points. You should have chain of custody on totals in the same way you are legally bound to have chain of custody on the ballots themselves. Everything should be auditable. Doesn't mean that you have to audit everything, but you should be able to. You must be able to go back and check if you so desire. And they treat
each individual voter should be able to see it. Just like you go into name a bank like Wells Fargo, a billion people use that bank. You get to pull up your own bank account and look at your bank statement every day and see, oh yeah, this is what it said in there yesterday. You can't do that when it's a vote for a person or a list of people. What is BS, but keep going.
Yes. So real quick, Fredo says, Rumble running fine here, but I feel for you, Zach. It seems like attacks come at certain podcasts. That's definitely my odd. Terry, do you think that Illinois has a snowball's chance in hell of going red?
For President Trump, I think I know it'll go extremely purple.
Yeah.
Go red. I think there's a little hope. I don't want to say, you know, there's so much frustration in the city of Chicago. That's like the, you know, we want to separate from city of Chicago as you started out earlier. But with so many minorities, they're doing a signature request right now to get Brandon Johnson out of office.
Oh, recall him. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing a signature recall right now.
That's huge. I mean, and the hatred for Brandon Johnson was almost universal and immediate. You know, it became very obvious that he was not the kind of person you wanted to have in local government. Let me ask you this, Terry. Is he still having panic attacks? Is it still tough for him to go into work every day?
I just made fun of him yesterday on the show. Well, you know what's funny? He was having panic attacks, right? Because of the influx of the illegals.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw 3 weeks ago, he told Biden, they even put it on Fox. He goes, yeah, I could accept another 500,000 to 750,000. Did you see that?
I did not see that. No, no.
Yeah. People are like, what the heck? And then they also had a chance to put on the ballot Sanctuary City, and they refused to do it.
Good.
So people pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Do you mean to remove the Sanctuary? Okay. Okay. I thought
to remove it. Yeah. To put it up for the voter. Sorry.
Okay. I thought you meant to like immortalize it forever, but okay.
No. And that people are pissed off that they shot it down, the city council.
Yeah. Definitely. That's not a good move. I think that Chicago has at least a snowball's chance in hell of going red come November. And remember, there is so much that can happen between now and November. I'll be real honest with you guys. I bitch and moan about how bad it is right now, but that's only to give everyone perspective about how bad it's going to be come November. This is not going to get any better. It will only get worse between now and November. And by getting worse, that will push as many Americans as humanly possible to Donald Trump to ensure that we kill this before it destroys us. We have got to nip it in the bud. And the only way that's going to happen is to remove the source of the problem. Okay. You cut the snake off at the head, so to speak.
Yeah. I have a prediction for you.
Okay.
The DNC in Chicago, it's going to be crazier than 1968.
Oh, there's going to be mass protests. Yeah. You're going to have Hamas encampments out there. I bet you.
So they're protesting over here by me, right? From the river to sea, right where I live in the western suburbs as well. But so the Antifa guys, Chicago Antifa guys are, you know, they're funded by the Soros and stuff.
Absolutely. Well,
now they're unifying with the Muslim community here in Chicago. And guess what their site is called, their website?
What is it?
Behind-enemy-lines.org.
Oh, you gotta get them for trademark.
they're on Instagram now. They have a chapter that spun off in New York. It's Behind Enemy Lines out there. These are the same people that got the Southern Poverty Law Center and all the same radical leftists.
Yep, yep.
And so they're organized. They're saying that they're going to make it more violent than 1968.
Do it
for attention. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, do it.
Maybe it'll be there January 6th, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I want to see it. And, you know, I mean, and Terry, I'm sure you saw this week, they're talking about putting the National Guard on college campuses to keep Jewish students safe as a result of all of these Hamas protests. You know, I want all Americans safe. I find it profoundly offensive that they would be willing to deploy the National Guard to Ivy League institutions all around the country to keep that money safe, but they're not willing to protect our southern border, and they continue to send billions of dollars overseas. How offensive is that? Fredo also says, any idea why Kyle Serafin is mounting an attack on James O'Keefe? He's a Fed. Spoiler alert. Even Viva called him out on it. So confused. James has done such great work. So, Fredo, I actually opened the 5 o'clock show today with a discussion about that. So I would refer you to that earlier show. But long story short, I think that it's likely that Kyle Serafin, you know, is still working for the FBI in some way, shape, or form or another, because the attack on James O'Keefe is curiously timed. And I think that it is disingenuous at best, but I think that it's highly suspicious. And if you go watch that video, anyways, go watch my video from earlier. I did like a 15-minute diatribe about it. But yeah, I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all. And then, okay. Oh, any final thoughts, Freedom Machines? We do have another caller on the line, and we've only got 15 minutes left.
Yeah. So you mentioned that they were trying to do the recall. And one thing I need to make apparent is when they tried to recall Gavin Newsom, I mean, it was all over the internet and the news, even the mainstream news, showing the envelopes were different, depending if you lived in like a heavily blue area or, you know, you were a known Republican.
Yep.
They had literal holes to see who you voted for and if you were voting to recall them. No investigation. Just like how in the 2020 election, they're supposed to preserve the ballots in a fucking shredding truck. Shows up the next day after they find out that they're going to be looked into, and they're shredding ballots.
Yep.
Like, A, that's against the law. Anything about that one area, that is, that precinct, should not be validated as whatever they say the election results were. And then you have to track down. Someone called that shredding truck. It didn't just show up on its own. So all of this is we have to let it not be smoke and mirrors. Like, we have to hold their feet to the fire, but we have to be extremely careful, just like the J6ers and the parents pointing out all of the BS, and all of a sudden they're on the FBI's radar for being targeted. They're trying to create a civil war, and they're trying to put patriotic Americans away and let the Antifa shitbags run the streets. And the Soros-funded clowns and the World Economic Forum-funded clowns are paving the way, and they're using our justice system to do it and our own tax dollars to do it. So,
yeah, they are.
Those are my final thoughts. I absolutely love your show. Love your guests. Always have a good evening.
All right, brother. Love you, too. Good to talk to you, and have a great night. All right. Thank you, as always, Mr. Amazing. Good to hear from you, my friend. Okay. Let's go ahead and bring in another fan favorite. This should be KC, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, what's shaking, Zach? Welcome back from Guard. I hope you had a great time with all of your, you know, listeners that could make it out there. You and Lisa, I'm sure you had a great time.
Yes. Well, I had a great time. Lisa had to stay home with the dogs, but she is coming to Deadwood with me. Yeah, my mom. Yeah, my mom is going to be coming here to stay with the animals. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah, they should make her feel better, too.
Yes, you know? definitely.
Healing nature of wonderful pets, other than maybe Muffin on a, you know, a terror streak. But anyhow.
Muffin's a lover. She's a lover. She's definitely a little pushy, but she's a lover.
I was going to say, you know, just an idea, because it felt a little like, you know, coitus interruptus when, you know, you were doing your show. I don't know if it was pre-programmed or what, but I'd really like to see you live for that weekend, you know, and it is 2 hours from your time zone, so. If you could sneak it in, you know, the other shows like Liberty Den, I think they can make an arrangement, because it really feels like you know, if you're not at GART, you know, you kind of might be missing on some very interesting topics that are top of mind, especially in the zeitgeist that we're in now. And it's just, you know, anything to make it more interactive. And like I say, there's nothing better than calling in and having a response as opposed to even the, you know, the rumble rants and whatever. It's like, I really love the one-to-one and being able to get a question answered in real time that it makes, that makes sense for everybody, not only the listeners and the callers, but everybody can formulate their own opinion from it and stuff. But,
for sure.
And, you know, with your guest, I just, you know, it's so much just whether it's Illinois politics, it's just so much directed with Chicago. I mean, we got the same thing here in Detroit, and I'm just coming back from the draft. So very respectful. I'm glad we didn't act a fool. But just, you know, watching the 250,000 people downtown, it's like, you know, that's what you can have when you have a halfway decent image or self-image. I think just Chicago's gone to hell ever since Jussie Smollett, you know, played the mega racist card. It's like, I'll avoid, I was down in Southern Illinois for the eclipse, and it's like, I'll avoid Chicago. I won't spend a dime on a toll, or I don't like to go through Ohio, but I had to. But it's like, I won't give them any money. I used to love going to Chicago, but it's like, you know what? If you can't fix up your backyard, man, why would I spend a dime, you know, bolstering your, you know, negative asset, which is, you know, and the whole thing is, if Trump hadn't been, you know, rigged out of the election, you know, Illinois was facing such a deficit, and, you know, whether it's the COVID money, whatever, they were going to have to face the repercussions of their horrible spending habits. And like I say, it's endemic throughout the entire state, you know, with what they have to charge extra for everything. And like I say, it's not much better here in Michigan, but I just look at it, you know, you've got to almost encircle it with the suburbs and move your way in. One of the ways I see is not only poll watchers, but poll workers. All right. Because I think the old Democratic guard, once they see that they're not all the same people working election primaries, this, that, and the other, they know they're being watched. And granted, it's great to have, you know, the people watching the actual counting, but the people, and I know the elections I've worked, I can tell you what the ballot and the results are just by my one station, you know. So I know if it's 3-1 like it was here in February, it better be 3-1 at the end of the night. And I've got a right as a worker to see what those final poll numbers are, so I can tell if there's any mischief going on. And like I said, it was in kind of a swing, you know, area, but you've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to get the poll workers, the poll watchers, and you got to obviously fight with lawfare. So I don't know where that comes in the sense that you've got to invest in the lawyers, because, you know, the Democrats are, they're trying to, you know, dead name and use Trump as, you know, what lawyer would want to work for Trump, knowing that they're going to be ostracized by their law firm. And so I think, you know, lawyers want money. They don't care which way it comes from. So we've got to start siphoning off some of the rhino money that's been going into these campaigns and set up, you know, a lawfare fund that Republicans and conservatives have a well-planned base attack. You know, it's like any of all of these swing states that Ronald Romney didn't, you know, invest in, you know, you almost got to hope that Lara Trump and everybody else is going to start getting involved. I mean, because it's important, obviously, with school boards. And now, I mean, the sheriffs, you were always able to count on them short of outside the major cities. But if you lose sheriffs to this, you know, neoliberal, you know, not going to prosecute attitude, dude, you might as well cash it in, you know, because you've got to have the rural, the outlying areas outside these cities to stand up and say, hey, you know what? One, we're not going to be a sanctuary city. Two, we are going to enforce the laws that are on our books, not, you know, the the ones that are always looked aside when it comes to federal, you know, federal sanctuary cities have never been ratified. All right. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to perform federal immigration law, if you're not going to prosecute it, what makes anybody think they're ever going to be able to prosecute federal firearms laws that they want to come up with? You know, people can't just pick and choose. So, you know, you've got to be able to push that lawfare angle that you support these candidates and their, I want to say, canvassing, all the political machinery that's behind these elections to say, hey, you know what? We're going to support you better than Katie Hobbs, but, you know, not Katie Hobbs, but Carrie Lake. And all these areas, you know, when there's shenanigans going on, people need to start getting arrested. All right. They can't fall under this umbrella like the Freemans did down in Georgia. And if you think about it, if they had just done what they should have done, there would be half of the cases up against Trump. But they didn't follow through like they were legally supposed to do. And it just sucks that we have to wait 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year just for them to be exposed that they didn't do their job in the first place. And like I say, now a lot of times with the records being, you know, destroyed or they don't have to hold on to them, we're seeing a bunch of bureaucratic incompetence just being rewarded. And like I said, I think it's more about involvement of the voters and the voting process. I'd like to hear what your guests think.
Thoughts, Terry?
Terry.
Yeah, sorry. I was adjusting my headset. We need more people involved. We don't have enough people involved outside to monitor these processes, right? I think people don't understand how serious this situation is and getting, you know, I guess one of my monitors about, I'm not optimistic about the future. I'm sorry. I hate to say that because my gauge on, I can't get people to show up to defend their children in speaker meetings. I can't get my senator to say porn doesn't belong. He's a Republican. You know, I can't get people, if you're not going to defend your own children, you know, we're having a hard time getting, you know, poll watchers and people to go out and do things and campaign, unlike the Democrats. So I agree. We have to get involved. We have to have more people doing things, but we have to find a different way to get a message out there. I don't know what the answer is to that, but we have to recruit more people. Like, your show is awesome, right? We got all these shows. We're all talking to ourselves. We got to expand our footprint, right, to get beyond people that think like us, that agree like us. And until we do that, the Democrats have such a head start, right? And they also, like, so the grassroots is the foot soldiers of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats have all these unions, right? In the city of Chicago, my dad worked for the city of Chicago, right? And it still happens to some cases. When they get close to campaigns, you know who are the workers are while they're on the clock. They'll go out and do stuff while they're getting paid. We don't have that. We don't have that luxury on our side. Or, you know, to your guy's comment about getting some of that money from the rhinos and stuff, right? The rhinos, they're worried about their own self-interest, right? To keep the little minimal power that they have. And I view the establishment Republicans, they have the power and the power and the money, right? We have the people and the passion, but we're not together as a unified group fighting against the Democrats, right? We have this passion in the state of Illinois, and then they have the money. Well, actually, they're losing the money. People are leaving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a divided army. We have a divided army here in the state of Illinois, while the Democrats are fully organized. They're on the same page, right? We're trying to people to, you know, poll watch and do all these some things that the caller just said, and we have to figure out how to get unified. We really do.
So yeah,
well,
you know,
I think
I was just gonna say, you know, I mean, for as long as I've been doing the show, you know, I've always seen it as a conduit for information. I think you're right, Terry. I mean, we are speaking in an echo chamber, and that's why the actual physical work outside of information gathering is so vitally important, because when we go out into the real world, when we take responsibility for our own system, and we get involved and we become part of the process, then first of all, we reduce the opportunities for the other side to take those positions. And we also have an opportunity to, in a real world way, impact the way that process works. And, you know, if all we do is just talk to each other about it, then, you know, it's useless, because then that means there's no action on our part. So, you know, that public interest, like actually being involved, is such a vitally important part of this. And that's why I always, always beg you guys to find something that you can do in the real world that is relevant to the things that we talk about. Because the truth of the matter is, nobody is going to do it for us, because we see the people who do, and they're either working for the left or they're working for themselves and they call themselves a Republican. We don't see enough people out there representing the interests of the people. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be out there fighting on the front lines, because if it's not us, then nobody else is going to do it for us.
And we got to stop hoping with the hopium that, you know, any one of the threads that, you know, the Democrats are going to be so embarrassed they won't be able to walk down the street. So whether it's Weinstein, whether it's Epstein, whether it's P. Diddy, those reveals will come.
Yeah.
But you've got to be able to do something and engage on the media platforms, get the message out, because that's the only way we're going to be able to combat the messaging that once somebody's embarrassed to that point, and they got their colleagues and people that are pacifiers or enablers,
mm-hmm.
you've got to be able to control the message and not let them slip through. You know, the whole Ghislaine Maxwell, it's like, you know, yeah, you set her up, but you don't set up any of the Johns. It's like, what type of justice system do we have? And I just think, you know, maybe the Supreme Court in this next tenure will expose it and finally bring back the rule of law. But in that respect, you can't change it via the court. You're going to have to change it via the actual Congress and your representatives, to the point where, you know, they're on the same side. So enough with the rhino bashing, and I'm seeing a lot through the Patriot movement where everybody's questioning, you know, is this guy telling me the truth? Is he being a paid shill? Is he an FBI op? Whatever. Examine the research, all right, and see what they're saying, if it's factual, and it's herd mentality in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know how you defend yourself by not pushing the truth and asking the questions. And we saw, you know, what asking the questions led to Tucker and anybody else. You can't ask those questions because you're not going to like the answer you get.
No.
Because the government ain't giving you the answers. They're the ones busy covering it up. So
yeah, it's
I
true.
Just say, you know what, get on all the social medias and try and influence your family and friends, but never take an attitude where, you know, you want to be confrontational. Just, you know, shake your head and say, I'm sorry you've been lied to by these other sources. Maybe they'll apologize. Maybe they won't. But you got to realize when you've been told something wrong and you show them the evidence, it's like, this is the way you got to think from now on. Don't trust anybody but your common sense, and don't get emotionally involved in the argument other than to say, you know, come along with the side that has the right answers and common sense. Because when it comes to the schools, that stuff will percolate up to the point where parents will not stand for it. And once enough kids are either homeschooled or there's competition with, you know, school choice, this, that, or whatever, they'll have to come along or they'll be put in the dustbin of history like every other bad social experiment. So,
All right.
Keep the faith, but lay off the hopium.
Absolutely.
You know, save that for the sports teams.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you on this. All right. Well, listen, we got to bounce because it's after 11 and I have a bunch of other stuff I've got to do, and we got to let Terry go. So thank you, as always, for your call, Casey. Appreciate you, brother.
Not a problem. God bless. And I can't you. Wait to hear what you got going for tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you soon. Peace. Thank you. All right, Terry, two quick thank yous to Fredo. He says, great show. Thank you, Zach and Fredo. Thank you, Zach and Terry. Any tripod updates? I have not seen Tripod in a couple of weeks. I really hope he's out sowing his oats. Or maybe he's gone to that great lily pad in the sky. I will definitely tell everybody if he pops back up again. But every morning I go out there and check the planter. I go out and check the backyard. I check the side yard. He just hasn't been around. So I hope he's OK. He says, also, did you hear about Kristi Noem, South Dakota governor, killing a puppy because it was untrainable? Not a good look. Thank you for all you do, buddy. Thank you. No, I did not hear that. And I do not agree with her decision there. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who know how to handle problem dogs. So I find it difficult to believe that a dog would be totally untrainable. Sounds like maybe Kristi Noem didn't have the patience that was necessary to train the dog. That's kind of messed up. But I also heard she cheated on her husband. So I don't know. That's allegedly not my opinion. But Fred Awakening also says we need to pitch in and buy an island. Name it Red Pilia. Start our own society. It'd be fun to create a prison for the five asshats that hit the thumbs down on the stream. Here is my contribution. You're a scholar and a gentleman, sir. I appreciate you. Yes, and maybe sometime in the future we'll have a Red Pilian compound where we can go live in safety and security and create our own government. Not to say that I'm a militia member and I'm separating from the United States. No, not what I'm saying. I'm just speculating on the possible futures for America. Anyways, Terry, I want to give you the opportunity for final thoughts here. What do you want to leave the audience with?
Well, I guess to your last caller's point, we have to get involved in these elections, right? We're in a war for the future of our country, for our children. And if you don't get involved, we're going to lose this war. We need to recruit people beyond our own footprint, beyond our echo chamber. The shows like this and exposing the truth is necessary. It has to be done. But if we don't act upon some of this information that we're sharing and that we're exposing and getting people involved, our kids are not going to experience what we experience. They're not. And we have to get involved quickly.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Local action for national impact. Be a part of the solution. Don't let somebody else create the problem for you. All right, Terry, thank you so much for being here, brother. I appreciate it. Everybody at home, thanks for hanging out with us. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m., I will be back for another episode of Red Pill News Live. Let me just tell you who our guest is. Let me see. That's going to be, family favorite, good friend, J.R. Majewski. So be here. We're going to talk about JR's nascent run for Congress and where he goes from here. So appreciate you guys. Terry, thank you so much. It's always a blast hanging out with you. Everybody at home, good luck. God bless. And hopefully the internet goblins allow me to stream tomorrow. So we'll see you then. Goodbye, CIA.
Thank you.